haven't filled mine out yet. I'm still thinking about it.
Welcome, everyone. It's 7 o'clock. I will call the meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Brunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present.
The consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have under the consent agenda the approval of the February 28, 2016 City Commission regular meeting as presented. Or that should be 2017.
Yep.
Approval of the contract with Root Mechanical in the amount of $5,905 to rebuild the wastewater plant's failed backwash pump and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. And C, approval of the recommendation of the Parks and Recreation Commission to appoint Tom Smith to fill a term vacancy in December 31st, 2020 and accept the resignation of Patrick Toka. Is there any comments on these items?
I would make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number four, hearing citizens' comments on any non-agenda item. Okay, thank you. Correspondence from Jim and Jane Hawkins. Mike, do you have that?
I believe that should have been in your
should have been your packet.
Let me double check.
I got it.
Yep. That's item 5A there. Just with regards to thanks from one of our community members with regards to work done by one of our officers, Kyle Smith.
Thank you. I read it. I didn't realize that was from them.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You also have a piece of correspondence that was placed at your location, your desk tonight, that will be used for our discussion with regards to the trail project.
Okay. Moving on to city manager's report, Mike.
Yes, a few items for your attention. Today, Gary Dunlop of our water wastewater department officially retired after 38 years with Boyne City. Yesterday was his last day of working. We wish him a long and happy retirement. We are accepting applications for the vacant position through this Friday. They've been out for a couple weeks. Last week, the ice pole, one of Gary's favorite projects, has been turned off for the season. I happened to be at home looking through some old photos and compared this year to previous years, and it was just amazing how wimpy it was this year in comparison. We also called it a season for the ice rink about a week earlier as the weather started turning on us. Request for bids for fiber optic internet service for the city and some of our partners in the community are currently out and are due back on Monday the 20th. We hope to bring back a recommendation at our next meeting. The new copier printer that was recently approved by the City Commission has been received and is in use. I've heard positive comments on how it helped with this year's preparation of the budget, mainly with regards to fewer paper jams. Last week, our new consultant on the museum, Joe Hines from Project Arts and Design, was in town for a couple days. While he was here, he held a public information meeting at which about 20 people attended. As part of his seeking input on ideas for the new museum, he's circulating a pre-planning survey or surveys for people to complete and return. So we're looking to get public input as to what they'd like to see in the museum, ideas, things of that nature. We have copies of these that are on the front counter if anybody wants to pick one on their way out. They're also on our website and on the library as well too. So I think we got off to a good start with that as well. Next week, the Michigan Municipal League will be holding their annual capital conference. on Wednesday in Lansing. That's the day after our all-day budget review session. For better or worse, and I know you're all going to be disappointed about this, but I'll be out of town and unable to drive the commission down or attend, so I know. That means you'll probably have good weather for driving. So if you are interested in going, please let Cindy know so we can make the necessary arrangements. I believe we can still get the lower rates if we book soon, probably before the end of this week. There are three city commission positions up for election this coming November. Petitions are available for those that are interested in running. They are due back here by 4 p.m. on Tuesday, April 25th. And please contact Cindy for more information with regards to that. As I kind of referred to just a second ago, I will be out of the office starting next Wednesday, the 22nd, and returning on Tuesday, the 4th. Which means I will also, in addition to missing the Missouri Municipal League trip, I won't be here for your next meeting either. So I'm sure everything will go just fine. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you. Any questions?
Not for me.
Moving on. In our packet, so that we understand what our boards are doing, we have the draft minutes of the February 9th Parks and Rec Board meeting minutes. We have the draft minutes of the February 9th Main Street Board meeting minutes. We have the draft minutes from the February 20th Planning Commission meeting minutes, and the draft minutes of the February 23rd Airport Board meeting minutes. Fellow commissioners, are there any discussion or questions on those items?
I have just one question about the Planning Commission minutes. Does Ted Maxey plan to come to the City Commission sometime soon with his proposal on Jefferson, as he indicated that? Because there was some mention here in the minutes that he made certain comments that I'm not sure I understood.
He came to the Planning Commission that immediately followed the training session we had under the conditional rezoning, and wanted to clarify some questions that were asked at that meeting and express that to the Planning Commission. Since then, we have received his updated conditional rezoning application, and I anticipate this going to the Planning Commission meeting on Monday.
On Monday.
And then after that, it will be set out for the City Commission.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Moving on to old business, we have nothing there. Under new business, Mike, you want to?
Yes, if the commission would oblige, I think it might be helpful as we're processing my items today to actually reverse the order that they're on the agenda and go with the budget presentation first. There might be something in there remotely that might have some impact on your decision-making process with regards to the potential trail funding grant. So if that is okay with the commission, I thought better of it after we put this together and thought maybe we should go.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
No objection.
Apology to those in the audience that were here thinking it might be a quick meeting. Now we have about a 4 to 5 hour discussion on the budget.
I'm sure, well, I thought we'd have a captive audience, so we want to keep them.
That's before, right.
Nobody ever shows up for our budget work session.
So, item B, fiscal year ending 2017 budget presentation. Mike?
Well, at each of the commission's places this evening, they'll have found, as is a practice, the budget book for the coming fiscal year, which begins May 1st. The budget, as proposed, maintains all of our current services and personnel levels, and it provides for such major projects like the completion of the city facilities project, construction of the first phase of the Boyne Valley non-motorized trail, which begins at Boyne City Airport and continues to the Boyne Falls Schools, the purchase of the open space project, and something that we haven't dealt with in quite some time, consideration of the approval of a special assessment request that we received to extend a city water line along West Michigan and Woodland to the city limits. The overall proposed budget, as you go through it, is slightly over $18.3 million, of which the general fund operations portion, not one-time expenditures, is over $3 million. As proposed, and that's currently in the book, the city's operating millage would remain at 15.51 mills, which it's been at for a number of years, while, as anticipated, the city's facilities debt millage will increase from the low rate that we had this current fiscal year of 1.32 mills, because it was a partial year that we're making payments on, to 2.30 mills. That's still about a third of a mill less than what was noted on the public information when the people went to the ballot on May 5th of 2015. For the remainder of this fiscal year, which runs through April 30th, we currently anticipate that our fund balance will increase by about $400,000. And that's going to be very helpful because, as this budget predicts, and with regards to a worst case scenario, we currently have a gap of about $1.6 million that we're going to need to close. And that can be tied directly to the acquisition of the open space, the portion that isn't provided by through the local match. To deal with that issue and to help encourage a discussion with regards to that, in the beginning of your budget book behind the first the front cover is a memo that kind of outlines some of the options that I believe that the City Commission may want to consider and talk about to provide for that gap. I expect that we'll be spending a good amount of time at our all-day budget work session exploring these and possibly other items that the Commission may want to come up with as we look at not only our short-term needs, but our long-term needs, and what's the best way for us to meet those as a community. The all-day budget work session starts here in the City Hall. I'm thinking we're probably going to want to meet in the conference room rather than this room. I think that would be a better workout, but we'll talk about that and plan on that layout. You'll see where it is when we get here. But that'll be taking place next Tuesday, a week from today, and starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. The public hearing and consideration of the budget is scheduled to take place at our meeting on Tuesday, April 11th, basically a month from today, and that's another 7 p.m. meeting. Any final amendments to the current year's budget will take place at the following meeting on April 28th. Copies of the budget are available here for people to come in and take a look at if they'd like. We'll provide one at the library tomorrow for people to look at whenever that's open, and it'll also be online for people to review as well, too. It's a lot of work to put this budget together, and I would like to specifically and publicly thank Cindy and the rest of the staff for the excellent work they did in putting this all together. It's amazing how much hard work and pieces and things have to line up to go together, but it's like a well-oiled machine, and they look and make it look fairly easy. The budget is here to be presented to you today. If you have any initial questions, I'd be glad to address them. We expect you to take it home, start to digest it. If you have questions between now and our meeting on Tuesday, feel free to ask Cindy or I. We'll be glad to try and address them. What's important to one of you may be important to the rest of the commissioners, or something that we didn't think of, and we can make sure we emphasize it at our meeting next Tuesday. So that's pretty much it for the budget presentation for today. I'd be glad to try and address any questions you may have. Yes, Ron.
First point, the 1.6 million, is that similar to or equal to what the fund balance may be at the end of
the No, the fund balance would not be sufficient to cover that outright.
Okay. So, what did you propose that the fund balance will be with this?
Well,
the way it's presented right now.
Well, the fund balance right now would be in a deficit position. We are going to have to find out we're going to either have to make cuts in certain areas, not take on new projects or expenditures, or generate additional revenues.
Now, I thought our fund balance was going to be in excess of a million.
It is. But again, we need $1.6 million. That is correct. And again, the memo that I provide you has a number of options to look at. Again, I wanted to make sure the commission has a chance to digest these. Maybe somebody will think of something that I haven't thought of. We've kicked it around the office here. I think we've got these laid out. I've talked to our financial consultant with regards to some of these options as well. Looked at various, bonding, financing. played with regards to the budget, what we could do with regards to it. And again, I want to emphasize the 1.6 is the worst case scenario. I think there may be opportunities to narrow that gap, but I've always felt my position to you is to present a very conservative, realistic budget, and then hopefully, as we do, as we're looking at for this fiscal year, when we're done with it, we'll be in a better position, not have some type of an unforeseen gap that we're trying to fill. So the $1.76 million, it's more like $1.63 million, is the current gap that's out there right now.
On the open space?
That's directly tied to it. If you took the open space completely out of the equation right now, we'd have a positive position in our fund balance. With regard to this budget year, we'd be very close to balance, but on the positive side of that.
Well, that speaks to the question I was trying to ask. So,
okay, yeah. And as I noted my more detailed narrative, and again, you know, this is just a real thumbnail sketch of with regards to it. You know, you have a multi-page letter for me at the beginning of the budget book. You know, one of the very nice things about have a very nice thing with regards to not having as much money as you might always want, is that the shortage that we're looking at isn't some type of a structural shortage. The structural shortage is something that occurs year after year, or you have a shortage where you can't even make your basic operating costs. We're nowhere near that position. As we have in the past, we've dealt with issues where we have an opportunity that presents itself, and where do we go to find that money to complete that opportunity? That's the situation we're dealing with here. It's because we were faced with an opportunity, and we've done some really great things with regards to the grant through the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund that's bringing at least $1.5 million to the table on that project to help really bring down our costs. But there's still a gap that we're gonna have to figure out how to overcome. And that's a discussion, I think, we need to have as a group, and I have thoughts as to which way I want to go, but I want to make sure I hear everybody's thoughts, and not only with the open space, but what are we looking at down the road from that? What other items might we want to accomplish too, and make sure that when we're considering one option, we're not precluding us from doing something else in the future. So we can't just be thinking of this fiscal year. We need to be thinking, multiple fiscal years out. Hope that helps.
Well said.
Thank you.
And just to recap, it was quite a year.
Well, it was really amazing. As one of the things that we do every year in the budget book is we list, the major projects, significant projects that are different than the usual, day-to-day stuff. I mean, and even that's pretty amazing. I mean, there's some things that have been in that budget book that after a few years fall off, but there's still impressive things that we weren't doing 5 or 6 years ago. But just looking at this year's list, I mean, the scope of the projects and what we're accomplishing is just amazing. It's just amazing. So, I would encourage everybody to look at that. That's included in my opening letter to the commission and community. In addition to looking at the projects that have completed or anticipate completing before the end of this fiscal year, it laid out most of the major projects that we anticipate undertaking for next year as well, too. And that's no slouch as well, as I mentioned before. I mean, just looking at, doing the Boyne Valley Trail, the first phase of that, I mean, that's well over $1 million impact on the budget of monies that flow through the community to make that happen. With the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund for that, cooperation that we've gotten from Boyne Valley Township. I mean, just that one project in and of itself is pretty astounding. And we have several things like that again.
Okay. Any further questions?
Not for me.
Not at this time.
Okay. And so you wanted to framework the budget before we go into the next topic, which is the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund.
Well, before we close that out, I know we've gone to the commission to see if the commission had any questions. Usually you open it up to see if any of the department heads or any members of the public have any questions or comments at this time.
Do that, yes. So, thank you. So we would certainly entertain your questions and thoughts and comments on the budget or projects or any topics that we've, that Mike has gone over.
And again, just like it is for the commission, if any member of the public has, if they choose to look through this or have any questions with regards to it, please contact staff. We'd be glad to try and address them.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next topic is the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund application engineering approval.
Well, we have another opportunity before us. On April 1st, applications are due for this year's rounds of the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund grants. Obviously, last year we were very successful receiving two of the three grants that we applied for both the Boyne Valley Trail and for the Open Space Project. When the first phase of the Boyne City to Charlevoix Trail was completed, some people were surprised and with regards to the way it terminates in the city of Boyne City at West Michigan and felt that we should take it further. That's always been a plan, but that plan has never been finalized or applied for funding. That's what's before you today, to see if the commission has the desire and feels comfortable at this point looking through the various options that may be out there, and there may be additional ones too. I heard one as I was coming in the meeting today. For a possible route to extend the trail from where it ends in West Michigan, and what I'm proposing is to take it to our proposed trailhead at Old City Park. And we've laid out, meeting with staff and Larry Fox from our consulting engineering firm, C2AE, laid out a number of options to get us from here to there. And then to think about, basically, okay, do we want to engage C2AE to come together with some cost estimates for us to make a run at getting an application to the state by the April 1st deadline. We've reviewed the requirements. We believe we can do it and do it comfortably. Again, going back to that well-oiled machine that we have here, between C2AE and our in-house staff, putting grant applications together at the last minute is something that we've done and been very successful with. It should be noted that with regards to trails, there's continuing activity on either side of Boyne City. What's bringing this immediate issue is the Boyne City to Charlevoix Trail, of which two phases have been funded already. The county is currently in the position of putting together its application for the same grant cycle to both the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund and also to MDOT, the same two agencies that we would be applying to for this, for phase three. In addition, phase two of the Boyne Valley Trail, which we're the applicant for on as well, would also be applying on the same grant cycle to those same grant sources. I sent out emails and talked to Kristen Stark with the county with regards to, you know, that's a lot of grants to be asking for at the same time from the same sources of money, and is that too much at one time? I think the general consensus is we don't think so. We think that the state will look favorably, as they have, on the two phases of the projects outside the city, and a little bit inside the city on the, both of them. The state has basically approved the Boyne Valley Trail and the Boyne City Charlevoix Trail at the same time. And they've applied for funding at the same time in the same pot before, out of the same pots before. Here we're looking to possibly ask them to add a third component that would provide a more direct link between those two areas as well. We think the positive thing is that when this is all said and done, we'll have a much more of a complete trail system all the way from Charlevoix to Boyne Falls. Which will provide, you know, I think a real economic boost for our community, making us more of the trail town community that we certified ourselves as being a number of years ago. And all these pieces fit together. In the worst case scenario, we could apply for a grant and we don't get it. That's always the case. But even when you do that, you learn from the experience, and sometimes, you know, not only do you learn from the experience, but after you've come back once or twice more, you get a little bit more consideration just from your perseverance with regards to it. So, with regards to the grant cycle, I think we can meet the deadlines. There are potential conflicts out there with the trails on either side of us, but again, that could work to our advantage, much like the two trails are currently already being approved by the state as well. So, the ultimate decision, discussion point is two things. One, at some point we'll have to come up with a local match for this, which also gets us back to the funding discussion. That's kind of why I wanted to preface the other, the budget presentation first, just to kind of set the overall framework on that. And two is basically, okay, are we comfortable talking about a route and coming up with something possibly tonight that we could charge C2A with and give us some cost estimates with regards to it. We don't have to have all the details of the route. We need to have a general layout of where we'd like to go so we can come up with some realistic cost expectations with regards to it. Fine-tuning is always a possibility. But we have a number of routes that we could lay out that we can put up on the screen here as well. We've invited members of the Park and Recreation Board and members of the biking community to come be part of this conversation at once. Since this hasn't gone through the normal, probably more relaxed cycle that it would go, might go through otherwise. But if we want to try and get it for April 1st, this is our option.
At this time, should we turn it over to Larry and go through the options, or should I turn it over to the public for comments, or should we narrow it down to a process as to, okay, we have five or six different routes to talk about? We want the input from everybody here, so what's the best way?
And that's kind of up for the commission to decide. If the commission feels at this point they want to have a just discussion about the overall process, and even if they want to consider applying for an April 1st one, they might want to have that discussion. If for some reason the commission says, you know, this is just too rushed, we'd rather take some more time, and they don't want to go through the process, then there's no reason to review all the routes here. We can do that at a different time if we want. I would encourage you maybe to have a little discussion on that just to see if the commission is comfortable at least going on and having the discussion about the routes and then ultimately deciding what you want to do. And if you'd like to, when we go through the routes, I'll start. I can put them up on the wall here. If there are segments, and we kind of gave you like five or six pre-proposed routes, we have the ability through Scott's computer here as well to basically mix and match, combine all those pieces together, and if we have to, I mean, we can talk through things and, you know, create other routes as well.
Okay, so I think that was good advice that we'll discuss it as a commission whether we want to continue or the rest of the discussion is mute. So, anybody want to start?
I think by taking action on this tonight, it become a shovel-ready project. I think the other thing too is a question that goes with this. If this fee right here for the $2,800 and do the engineering on it, would that be sufficient for, you know, make it a shovel ready project where it just be just a zero timeline as far as shipping it to Lansing?
No, the answer is that's sufficient to do schematic design and cost estimates for a grant application. So to get a good estimate of the costs and a preliminary schematic routing diagram, but it's not by any means a design of the project. I mean, that would be much more substantial. If we're talking about, say, $1 million project, you know, the design piece would be much more than $2,800. So this is really to assist the city through the grant application phase, not.
So the grant application phase here is what we're proposing to do, is to take it from West Michigan to Old City Park.
Yes. Correct. Yeah, you wouldn't likely actually enter into any design until you knew that you were funding both entities.
But again, this, as Larry's indicating, this gives us enough information so that if somebody, for this grant cycle, the MDOT grant cycle, which is on a slightly different timeframe, which is a little bit, and they have more regular applications for it throughout the year rather than just this one time a year for the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. This would provide us all the information that we would need to be able to apply to get, to let them say, yes, we're going to fund you or we're not going to fund you.
Very good.
We wouldn't do the final engineering, as Larry said, until we actually, we wouldn't recommend doing the final engineering until we actually knew that we were going to. I mean, kind of compare this to Court Street. On that one, a few years ago, before we applied for any grants or anything like that, we had Larry do some research and things of that nature. They actually did some soil borings, which we're not looking to do as part of this process right now. But they put the basic pieces in place so that we could respond and go out for application funding. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, from that respect, it's maybe grant ready, if not completely shovel ready.
Thank you.
I like that term, grant ready.
Okay.
Yeah. And for $2,800, I support it.
Okay. Gene?
I know we've got a lot of other projects we're looking at, but I would be okay to move forward with this, and if we find out it's financially possible to do this project, we will be ready to do it. I'd be okay with it.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, I'm in agreement exploring and going forward on this project. Eventually, we're going to want to connect the end of the trail where it ended on Michigan to the downtown area and allow those people to kind of draw them into the community. So I would be in favor of exploring.
You?
I'm torn because I really want to see this trail done, but the process bothers me that we have a Parks and Rec Commission, we have a Main Street Board, we have a Planning Commission, and we don't have any input from them. And it's just, the reason I say that is I have an idea of where the trail should go, and it's not on this. And so obviously, you know, I'm not thinking mine is the best, but there's a lot of different ideas out there that it seems to me it would really be good to get, you know, for something as important as this, some community input. You know, and then the trail that I, you know, is closest to what I was thinking is one, but it crosses the street three or four different times, and you know, I don't know why that is or why that has to be, or you know, if we continue to easements along that section where we're crossing the sidewalk, why we don't stay on, you know, there's just some things like that that I don't know if we can get resolved before the grant application. And I'd rather have a good trail than try to meet a grant application deadline. But you know, I fully support what we're trying to do here. I just don't, I'm nervous about getting the community input to make the best decision possible.
Okay.
I got another question. You know, you submit the grant application package with the work that Larry's done, would this be, can we make changes to it? I mean, as far as the actual where the trail's gonna go and
you would have the opportunity to make minor adjustments, but their expectation is that you've thought this out and that it's a feasible project when you submit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but only if it follows the route that...
Like I said, you might be able to make some minor adjustments to the route, like for a block or something, but not wholesale major. We're starting here and now we've moved it over here. That's not going to apply.
I am in support of moving forward, and in respect to Hugh's concerns, I totally respect that, but I think what happened is this was, once it was completed, we didn't really realize that maybe some of the issues until it was completed, and that being the safety of getting people from the beginning of the trail into town. And so does this project jump in front of the pavilion or in front of the bathrooms or in front of the marina? No, but I agree with what was said that we can get it shovel ready and we can get a grant ready for maybe a couple $1,000s. And did we vet it totally through the process? Maybe not, but I think we can. I think we have a lot of people here tonight that are experts in this field, and I think we can work that through, Hugh. But I really do think it was kind of like a problem that all of a sudden appeared, unbeknownst to our thinking that it would be a problem. And that's just, people get off that trail and they go, where do I go? Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to solve that maybe quicker than go through the process. I think we can vet it out tonight, and we have two weeks to get it going. So, yes, Mike?
I would also point out with regards to Boyne City to Charlevoix Trail, because I think most everybody in this room, in this community knows, that was a much delayed trail. And sometimes we weren't sure if it was actually going to take place. And a lot of other things came up on our radar, such as the Moyne Valley Trail, that really weren't on our plate when we were first considering the Boyne City to Charlevoix Trail. So I think in some respects we got distracted with other projects while we were waiting for this, and all of a sudden, fortunately, the problems and the gremlins disappeared from this project and it actually got completed. So. But Commissioner Conklin Hughes' comments with regards to the process are correct. I mean, in an ideal world, I think we should run it through our planning commission and those various other boards and commissions that he mentioned as well too, especially if we're looking for some of them to provide some financial support on it as well. We do still have some opportunities to do that even after today. As was discussed earlier, the planning commission meets on Monday. This matter is going to have to come back to the City Commission at our meeting on the 28th. Mm-hmm. The goal here tonight, though, is to see if there is enough support on any one route to have C2AE go forward with the design elements. Because if we can't decide what the design elements are, mm-hmm. or we're not sure if we want to have more discussions, which are all legitimate possibilities, we can't do that and come up with cost estimates after our meeting on the 28th, that we can't just do it in 3 days.
Yeah. So with that being said, I calculate support to move forward, and so would this be a good time to turn it over to Larry and go over the maps?
We'll go over the maps. I don't know if we'll turn it over to Larry yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to go in the order that the maps are in your agenda packets. If I can get I can follow it here correctly, hang on a second. Shrink that down just a little bit so it all fits. Fortunately, our AVR super bright laser here, so we can look at it. This is currently where the trail ends at the north part here. At the intersection of West Michigan and Boyne City Charlevoix Road. This way goes out to Young State Park. And I'll mention the idea that was mentioned to me earlier at the meeting today, which ties into, because this is basically my recommended route, my preferred route of what we've got going here. Another idea was to basically start here and take it down what we have as the currently signed route along West Michigan to John, and then follow John along here all the way out and come up to Charlevoix here. We currently have it signed like that. This route proposes doing something similar to that on another section that we currently have signed, which is along Lower Lake Street. And along this section here, it, as it's noted on the map with the dash lines, we were proposing there would not be a separate trail at that location along that section of Lower Lake Street. It would be marked, there'd be markings painted on the road, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. That is such a low volume, low speed road, mm-hmm. 25 miles an hour, strictly residential, mm-hmm. that we did not feel as a staff that there was any necessary to create a special path there. There is a sidewalk in here along the east side of Lower Lake Street that people could use if they wanted to. but provides a scenic route. There is an opportunity to do that here as well. We were looking at, one of the things we were weighing as we were looking at these options are a combination of what would people use, be most likely to use. And that varies, whether it's a real serious biker or a more casual family coming from Young State Park. The more serious bikers, some of them wouldn't be bothered too much with regards to, you know, using the existing lane markings we have on the road right now, mm-hmm. and not be bothered by the traffic. Again, as you come in on West Michigan, coming out from the Young State Park, the speed limit drops from 55 to 35 and then down to 25 here as well. But I consider this 25 mile an hour street a little bit different than John or Lower Lake Street as well. So one of the options, again, just to mention it to you now, that we did not propose in the plans that we have here is coming out along this way as well too. So, and let me just walk through this route, then we can talk about it, we can look at the other routes, and as I go through it, I'll hit some of the other side routes that we talked about, or alternate routes that we talked about. So along here on West Michigan, there would be basically a 10-foot pathway that would be created on the south side of the street up here to John Street, and then it would cross over. And Larry, Scott, and Andy could talk to you about why, as we go through this, why there's crossings and why we jump from one side of the streets to the other. They went out and basically looked at these various routes and, you know, looked at the obstacles, where we've got utility poles, where we've got driveways, where we're going to have problems getting, you know, easements or enough width to actually build these trails. So that's part of the factoring as to why what's built, what's shown here is shown. So that takes you here, and again, you do have a, and all these little red things are areas where they cross the street. So this is probably your first real major street where you're crossing Charlevoix to get to the north side of Charlevoix, where you follow it across the street here. Actually, there should be probably a red mark there as we're crossing, I think that's Charlevoix Street. And you stay on the north side of the street until you hit the intersection where the flasher is. Yes, Barbara?
While you're going through the detail, can you enlarge it a little bit,
please? Sure, yeah. Good idea.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, thank you. That's easier.
Do we have gear for over there?
So again, here's the intersection, and this is probably the worst intersection of all throughout this process. And this is West Michigan, Lake Street, and Lower Lake Street. You got the flasher here. We looked at options with regards to, do you cross the street or not? There's alternate routes that we'll see that take people down Michigan to Lyon Street here, and then potentially down Groveland or back out onto out onto Lake Street. Or then basically the route that we're recommending, again, taking that crossing into consideration, is get them across the street and then onto Lower Lake Street, where they're able to take advantage of the public access site and basically the lake views and things of that nature until they get back here to Lake Street. Let me go back just a little second here. On Lake Street, again, we've got another crossing here. It looks like that we are crossing the road there, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we're crossing Lake Street here. So again, you're on the east side of Lake Street, across from the manufactured housing community, or in front of it, across their driveway. And then again, coming over at the main boat launch and coming back across the street again. That gets us on to in front of the boat launch and the open space property where we have plenty of room to work. We come in front of Honeywell. And at some point in the future, let me just mention that before I go too far south. At some point in the future, I would see the potential for some type of a lake route coming through here, but we'd have to obtain an easement from Honeywell. We had discussed that with their management in the past, but they had management changes, and we have to restart those conversations. When we come here to basically the existing city limit property for the city facilities, the proposal here is to take it to the lake. Right along the property line with Honeywell, and then follow along basically to the north of the ball fields and the traffic circle that we, traffic parking area that we have there. There's been discussions for a number of years with regards to doing some type of complete circulation, of pedestrian circulation path around here. Currently we have the sidewalks that come from the, from downtown, that come along the marina and basically stop at the lighthouse now. And there isn't any pedestrian way further other than walking on the grass or the drives. This would continue along here. It would cross the access route here to the east side. So basically along the Veterans Park lawn side of it, cross the drive here, follow on down along close to the Rivermouth restrooms, and then cross the street there by the Eagles on to River Street, where we would continue on into Old City Park.
You want to have discussion on that one option before we go to other options?
I'm just trying to think what's the best way to go through it, because we have a number of options. I'm trying to make it as least confusing as possible. I'm just talking going through that there's a lot of factors to consider. One of the things we talked about as staff as we talked through this is whether we just start at the beginning and let everybody walk our way through the ideas as to where they think we should go, whether we go here, whether here or whether there's some other routes to start and see how far we can go as a consensus and then kind of design it as we go. If you want to, we can go through quickly the other options and I could show what the main differences are. I'm probably not going through as much detail as I have on this one until the commission decides what pieces they want to pick up.
Okay. We do want to get public input to staff input, so.
Okay, I'm going to shrink these down for this because I'm not going to go through them in as much detail. And we can detail them up when there's parts of it that the community wants to talk about. The main difference on this one is it doesn't come down Lower Lake Street, so we don't cross the road at that at the Flasher intersection. We stay basically on east side of the street all the way until we make that same crossing across from the main boat launch. At that location, we just stay on the side of the road. We don't go along the lake. We just follow along the west side of Lake Street until we hit river, and then we cross there. So that's a level of summary I thought I'd give this one as well, too, in the subsequent one. Just to get them out on the table. Any questions on this before I jump to the next one?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I didn't know if Ron had something.
I guess the question I have is just utilizing that area that's got a sidewalk there, and going to put it in a 10-foot path, does it require tearing up the sidewalk or expanding the concrete?
It requires tearing it out. You could expand the concrete, but more than likely the grades aren't going to work. We'd probably have to remove and replace it.
Which might be just as cost effective. I mean, sometimes it's just to start over new, at 10 foot, it's easier to patch it in at 6 foot.
Yeah, and then you eliminate a seam there along as well, too.
Yeah, attention to that.
Do you always need a 10 foot width, though?
Well,
I mean,
yes,
could some sections be a little narrower?
Because you're going to, the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund is a little more lenient in those regards, but the Transportation Alternatives Program, the MDOT project, they are not. They require you to meet ASHTO standards, and for a non-motorized trail, the requirement is a 10-foot wide surface, with 2-foot clear zone on each side. Mm-hmm. And actually, the requirements are that the edge of a trail be 5 foot from the traveled lane of the roadway. And so when you start doing the math,
okay,
we're going to need easements and grading permits, mm-hmm. and no matter what route we take. They do allow some exceptions, mm-hmm. but they like to minimize them. So if we were to go in and approach that we're going to just do an 8-foot trail, that's not going to fly.
And I'm just
but
thinking
if you do a 10-foot and then you have a short section of 8,
right.
it would require signage that says trail width reduced,
mm-hmm.
and you could do that for maybe a couple hundred feet for special circumstances.
Okay.
But just keep in mind that is going to be a very stringent and difficult requirement. Because we are trying to build a trail in a very narrow area that's fully developed, mm-hmm. with utilities, mm-hmm. and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if certain shorter sections could be a little narrower to accommodate where you're at along that trail.
Yes. In some exceptions, you can do that.
And also, Laura, what you're accommodating is two-way traffic.
Right.
And you're accommodating bikes, walkers, skateboarders,
everything.
Strollers,
yeah.
everything,
yeah.
dogs.
Yeah.
On leashes.
True.
That's why the tent's needed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we saw quite a few strollers on the new state park.
Joggers,
Mm-hmm. Anything else on this one? Or should we continue through then come back to conversation?
Well, one other thing is, do you think this trail will be used primarily by bikers or a good mix or?
I think it'll be mixed.
A mix.
I think it'll be just like you see with regards to the trail we have on Division Street or Front Street as well, too. It's the same type of multi-use trail.
All right. Okay.
And it was just as mentioned as what you're seeing out on the first phases of the Boyne City-Charlevoix Trail. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing all sorts of people on it.
When we bike the trailway in Petoskey, it's all of the above.
But if you're walking, that doesn't, you're not mandated to cross at each intersection where it's marked for the trail.
Oh,
I mean, you could walk on a sidewalk or crisscross a different direction or go down the lower.
There's nothing mandating anybody, whether they're on a bike or whatever,
stay
on the trail.
Right.
And, depending on, again, different people are going to use them differently.
Okay.
This would be the most inviting, though. If you're on foot, you're going to follow it.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Okay, this trail is almost identical to the last trail that we looked at, except we're going down West Michigan Line Street instead of staying along the north,
mm-hmm.
East side of Lake Street from West Michigan and Grove, between West Michigan and Grove. So except for this section here, this is the same as what you just saw on the last trail. Okay, continue on. Stop me. This is a significant difference with regards to the last two trails. This one does not stay along the lake or use Lake Street once you get past Grove. Now this one you could do one of two ways. One, this is shown here from basically the flasher. This keeps you on the east side of Lake Street until you hit Groveland, then takes you east on Groveland to Park Street, and then Park Street down until you hit the park. There is also another alternative, I don't think we've shown it here, that you could use kind of what we saw in the last version, where you come across West Michigan and then down Line as well, too, if you want to get people off Lake Street sooner, away from that. So that's a less traffic route. It's not as scenic, but the volume of traffic and the speeds are generally slower at that way as well, too. Any general questions on that one?
Let me
go back.
Well, no, real quick. So you're saying they stay on the road or a 10-foot path along the road?
These are 10-foot paths along the road.
Got it. Okay.
Again, on all of these maps, unless there is something shown with the dashed line.
Okay.
This is all on the road, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, all off the road.
All off the road. Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, I just wanted to verify.
Right, the first block between State and River would likely be either sidewalks or a roadway.
This one right here?
Yeah.
Because I know we got that three-lane marking right here at the intersection on the south lake there. Okay. We included this one just to kind of show what I referred to at the beginning, some potential for long-term opportunities to keep people more along the lake. So this is kind of like the second one that we saw, or no, like the first one we saw, except from here it doesn't stay on the side of the road, it moves towards the lake. This one isn't viable at this point. One, we don't own the open space property yet, and we would have to have a clear title to that or an easement. And again, as I mentioned before, we don't have an easement with regards to the Honeywell property itself. But this is a potential long-term vision that if we built that other section that came down here and then made the turn, the two could tie in at some point. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. We could build a trail along here, then subsequently do this, or build some of those other trails that we saw as well too. I do think, as we're considering where we want to put a trail, is we're going to have probably one opportunity to go to the Missouri Natural Resources Trust Fund and MDOT to create some type of a through town trail system with regards to it. Once we do it, I think our opportunities to go back and say, okay, well, geez, we built this route, but now we want to have a second leg that comes down here and along this way, or up Jefferson to Court and then along Court Street or whatever the path might be, I don't think we'd have the opportunity to do that. So again, that's one reason that, you know, if you're not comfortable with this and you want to pull back and say, let's take some more time and vet it through some more discussions, that's an acceptable alternative too. So those are the main options that we had out here. That's staff. I think this would be an appropriate time to turn it over to the public, see if they have any thoughts on this or any other routes that we didn't discuss, and then potentially bring it back to the commission and see if they have other routes or options that they want to discuss, or just, okay, we've heard enough and this is too confusing, we should do this another day.
No, I agree, and I think we have some people that are here ready to offer input. Do we want to keep the lights on or off? We can't see you, Mike.
Yeah, let's turn them on.
Then let's keep off.
if we can't see him, he can't see us, right?
Okay, so I would like to hear from staff and the public and all simultaneously, because we're all in this together. And please state your name for the records. Mike?
Michael Sheehan, 633 Forest Park Lane. Although I do chair the Parks and Recreation Commission, I'm not speaking to them this evening. I am also president of the North Country Bicycle Club. I'm not really speaking for them, but I'll give you a few of my personal thoughts, if you'll accept them. The first one is that the lake routes that were not shown, especially the I think it was John Street you mentioned, mm-hmm. and Lower Lake, mm-hmm. those are spectacular views and leave a lasting impression on guests coming to our town. And I think they should be included in the considerations here. Number two, I think the crossings on whether it's called Michigan or Lake or whatever the heck we name that street out there, I'm speaking as a grandfather. I wouldn't want my kids going across there ever. Any of those, actually. Maybe the one in town where we got to go up to the park. But I really think that's not comfortable for parents that are with young, particularly young people. Do I do that myself? Do it all the time? It doesn't bother me in the least. Nobody's hit me yet. Are you? Right. But I think from a family standpoint, and I interviewed several people from the Young State Park that were guests coming in and out of town, and they were very scared about that road. They didn't mind going alongside it, but boy, their ideas of crossing and taking that sidewalk on the other side. I asked them if they considered that, and they said they considered it, but they wouldn't do it. So I think that's a problem. I think the option of going through the open space, which wasn't shown, and the option going through Veterans Park along the waterfront, great. we ought to have it both ways, so you can go streaking right along separate road, separate from the road, or go down along the waterway. Otherwise, I think it's a good thing, we should go forth with it. If you're really stuck on the $2,800, I think the bike club could come to your assistance. That's off the record. But it's when you get down to the big numbers that Larry's going to give you, then you got your own work cut out for you.
Thank you. Yes, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa Alexander, 1120 Wilson Street. I'm also Parks and Rec Commission, but I'm not speaking for them tonight. I would just like to hear, honestly, what Q had in mind. I'd just like to see what that proposal was at you, that variance.
I'll have an opportunity, I think.
Oh, you will? Okay, I wasn't sure if that was.
Yeah.
Okay, that was it.
We'll get back to discussion.
I agree with it. It has to remain safe. That flashing light crossing, it's a little unnerving. Because I go around it in an emergency vehicle, and it's unnerving that at any rate. So crossing that right there, that's a little. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to add to it, Mike? Go ahead.
Well, I think I missed the point. There's a couple places along the road which I see you did not take the choice of staying on the west side of the road. And I don't know what the problems are. I understand there are problems. I can go and talk to Andy and I'm sure he'll tell me what they are. But I think we got to look real seriously about staying on that west side and working through whatever those problems are. I don't know what they are. Maybe the property's not wide enough. Maybe it's got too many utility poles. Maybe it's got whatever. But staying on that side of the road all the way along, wherever we have to be out on the road, makes more sense to me than crossing. I just put down the prohibition about crossing, but the suggestion was stay on the west side of the road and work our way through there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's come up a couple times already, and I know staff has gone out and actually visited the site with Larry. Maybe it'd be good to hear some discussion on that point at this time.
Yeah.
As to why we came up with that. So I don't know, Annie, Scott, Larry, how we want to address it, or?
Sure, I can start. If you want to zoom back in.
Where do you want to start?
Give me the pointer, the west end.
Okay, here's the pointer.
Okay.
You want to start with the first option?
Sure, yeah, let's go back to that.
Okay, hang on a second.
And first off, we all recognize that crossings are not desired, especially that roadway. So it's kind of like a lesser of two evils consideration. So on this, obviously this is a good place to start on the south side of the roadway because this is where the existing trail ends. And it does appear that there's sufficient road right of way to construct the roadway in this area, perhaps with some grading permits, but that works pretty well. Mike, if you'll scroll to the right. But this block in particular, from Charlevoix to where Michigan turns to Lake.
Let me zoom in on that just a little bit more, Larry. Oops, not that much more. I don't know if I can move between. Yeah, I can.
And I guess what we're talking about, that area on the left, on the north side of the road, is the big embankment, big hillside. Mm-hmm. So in order to get a 10-foot trail in there, we'd be really cutting back into that bank, have to build a large retaining wall, probably be cost prohibitive.
Okay.
So here is where the real issue is in trying to get a 10-foot trail in here. Is the slope of the ground drops off quite quickly towards the lake just off the roadway. And you'll also see there's some fairly large driveways. There's some pretty large landscaping features, block, retaining walls, and all of those things that are in this area that make it would be very difficult. You would definitely need easements, you'd need grading permits, and you'd be going through a lot of wide driveways. It just looked like it'd be very difficult to get, and probably to get those property owners to give up their property and easements to do that. Yes.
And I was going to ask that question. Is there an actual road right away there, or is that because of its, I don't know how that is platted out, or if it's not platted out, or if their property goes to the center of the road type of situation?
No, they're platted lots, and there's probably right-of-way for the trail, but as Larry talked about, there's a lot of obstructions in the right-of-way, and also you would have to have grading easements from those property owners to make the grades work.
Okay.
right, to keep the trail flat enough coming off the roadway and then down to match the existing grade, you'd be building some fairly large embankments.
But to clarify, their structures, their driveways or landscaping or stonescapes are within the 66-foot right-of-way.
Yes.
So it's really, they took it to the limit.
Yes.
Just because they had to get from point A to point B.
Not to say you can't ask or require that they remove those or remove them as part of the project, but you can't require them to give you property or the right to fill on their property to build the trail. So even if you remove all the obstructions from the right-of-way because of the slope of the ground within the right-of-way, you have to build your trail and either build a big retaining wall or a large embankment in order to slope down at a safe angle to construct the trail. So that's why this area becomes very, very difficult construction and almost guarantee that you're going to need the property owner's cooperation to build on their property or fill on their property.
How many homes? About 6, 7?
Yeah. You should all take note of that when you go drive through there.
Right at the foot of Charlevoix Street there, it just drops right off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you could even get 10 feet.
And as far as road crossings go, this one does have very good visibility both directions. It's currently signed as a crossing. That one, to me, appears fairly safe. And if it were signed, it would be signed better. Of course, it would have the advance warning signs and then the pedestrian crossing signs. that one is not too bad. Any other questions in that area as to why?
But Larry, is there a way of making the road just a little bit wider and having bollards there to just take you that one block?
Yeah,
if it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to put something other, is there some other creative way that you could just create something there that goes away in the wintertime so you don't have the snow plowing or, you right. know, that type of thing?
The simplest method that's acceptable to MDOT in this area is going to be a paved shoulders, widened paved shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not desirable, especially from a pedestrian type standpoint. Bikers is... You know, dedicated bikers is pretty standard. As far as, it doesn't really change the requirements. I mean, we could put, you know, a concrete barrier wall or something in between there, mm-hmm. but you still have the problem of physically building this trail out further from the road and then making it work within the slopes.
So
I think we did have something like what you're describing, Hugh, on Division Street, where parts of the non-motorized trail
were
backs up to Harbridge Park,
right.
came really close to the road, and they had some, right. you got basically the edge of the road with its white line right next to the trail, mm-hmm. and they used to have, early on, some like plastic bollards and stuff like that, and those have just disappeared over the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those two trails seem to work pretty well next to each other. I'm not, you know, I've used it myself. Mm-hmm. I've seen family member or other people's families out there all the time. It seems to work. Mm-hmm. Whether the state would allow it, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Not likely very often.
Yeah.
Mike?
Is there enough right of way that the road could be moved? What is that, north? Moved it off its current center line?
I'm not going to say that's not impossible. But the grant funding will not pay for the road reconstruction part.
Mm-hmm.
It would only pay for the trail portion.
Maybe it's time to repave the road and move it over while we're reshaping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a thought.
That's all
I think that would also bring to play, Mike, some very other serious issues that would need to be addressed. There's drainage structures, water and sewer lines that go through those areas. On the other side of that roadway right there is quite a few utility poles that would need to be relocated somehow. The only option would be if you put that on private property, which the power company has to get easements from the property owners to do so. But you're looking at probably just that one section road, close to $1 million to repave and move that roadway over to do what you want to do by the time all the infrastructure needs and utility relocations are taken care of.
And so the difficulty here.
So,
no which,
Larry, could I need to just ask a question.
Sure.
So, listening to Andy, $1 million. So, should we forget about the grant and not be chasing mm-hmm. the grant and just be thinking of ourselves, maybe something that we could fund creatively, so we don't have to live by the constraints of MDOT and all those sorts of things, if we're looking at $1 million for a couple hundred yards? I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah.
You know, if we could creatively ourselves, you come down Bay Street, go West Michigan to Bay Street, and you paint it, both, you know, so you've got it on either side. It seems to me that where we're hung up is this section that we're talking about here. Once we could figure out a way of doing that, however, we think it's good, then we come down Lower Lake. I don't understand why we cross the street there at the condos there.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Larry's going to walk us through.
Okay.
I see where you're going with that.
Uh-huh.
And I guess we'd have to run a couple different cost scenarios to see, okay, how much is that money worth, or how much right. are we giving up by not taking the grant?
Right.
I mean, you could always build this as the grant route, and then sometime subsequent to that, come in and put in the components that we wanted to have as well, too, if you're following what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You build this path, because if it makes sense for you to get the money and it meets all their standards and that type of stuff. But if there's something else that we like that we could do fairly cheaply on the other side that we think gives a better route and other alternatives to people, we could create that as well on our own.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be better off doing something like that. Again, we'd have to run the numbers and run a couple different scenarios to see which way it made more sense rather than, I'm thinking there's gonna be some real, I think the grant's gonna be really attractive if we're gonna look to do all this work.
Mm-hmm. I guess I have a question too. Do we need to design from point A to point B from start to finish for this grant, or could we like take the lower section of this and use that for the grant application?
One of the things that we've noticed
out the rest.
One of the things that we noticed, well, and we might be able to get some comments from the county as well too. They generally like to see that you have a route from here to there, that you're actually connecting some places rather than just have it stop. We ran into that issue a bit with regards to, and I have more experience with this one, on the Boyne Valley Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Our first segment was going to take it from the airport to Dam Road and stop there. Okay. And they didn't like that. For whatever their rationale is, they thought it should go to the Boyne Falls schools and told us we basically had to do it in two sections versus three.
Okay.
So that gets us the Boyne Falls schools and the Boyne Falls schools to the into Boyne Falls proper was going to be the second section.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been able to get around that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, on the Boyne City to Charlevoix route, because ultimately we have from A to B, which is from Boyne City to the Charlevoix Trail, and we're just doing it in phases. So they kind of allowed us to do it there. I think if we were just doing the Boyne City to, like, if we're just doing the first phase and that was all that we'd sent to them at one point, I think we probably would not have scored anywhere near as well. But when they can see, okay, here's the first part of an overall picture. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to continue along the route.
Yes, but if you would go backwards just for a second.
I usually do.
Talk about Bay Street. So there's two alternatives to Bay Street. One would be you still do this trail as it's shown, and Bay Street could just be signed as a different route, and then all you do is put the Shiro symbols on the roadway, because that's all we'd be doing anyways. So that's, you know.
Oh, you're talking about continuing kind of on the route that Mike talked
right,
there.
Yeah, you can still do this. It doesn't take any more investment other than some pavement marking that you can do on your own, actually.
And I agree, that kind of goes back to the comment that I was making with you, that, okay, you might be able to get multiple routes out of that type of thing, and we can do that portion on our own at a different time as a low-cost alternative that would give people options.
Mm-hmm.
And it would even behoove us to do it for this season, because what we're talking, the grant cycle, we're 2 years out, so we could have alternative painting and signage immediately.
Well, we've got the signers there.
Yeah, I do.
So. Okay, the one thing about this, even the John Street Road, is it still doesn't take away that one block of problem area that we have.
Right.
There's no way to get past that unless you go up to the north.
Can we do a bridge from Bay Street across to Lower Lake Street? I mean, if that's going to be a million, you know, doing that block is $1 million, maybe we can afford to do like a wide boardwalk that goes across the end of the bay. It'd be pretty and scenic, wouldn't it?
This crossing is problematic. I think everybody knows that.
But like from here to, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
Because of site distances, so there may have to be some extra signage to accomplish this. So this would be just the shared use roadway, what they're called, with pavement markings and trail routing. No current improvements other than that. And then there was a question about.
Before you leave that, I know when I've taken portions of the TART trail in Traverse City, when it's crossing, I think it's 3 Mile Road at that location, just immediately north of the railroad crossing. They've actually got a traffic signal that they've put in there that the bikers can stop and push the button and actually change. I mean, that'd be super expensive. I don't know if that's even an option or.
Yeah, that's always difficult. The trust fund doesn't pay for signalization.
Okay.
I don't think the TAP does either, but for any type of signal, whether it be motorized or non-motorized, you have to meet all of MDOT's traffic warrants, and your chief can tell you more about that as well. Mm-hmm. But it's always difficult to do. It's like a chicken and egg. It's like when we were talking about the rapid flashing rectangular beacons on the safe routes. Until you have the amount of traffic and pedestrian traffic to demonstrate that it's needed, you can't put it in. So it's like a chicken and egg type thing. So until you could prove that there's enough pedestrian traffic conflicts with roadway, you probably couldn't signalize it.
Okay. Where do you want me to go?
I guess scroll a little south and east.
While we're here at this intersection, do we want to talk about, the alternate routes that we had about going, continuing on West Michigan or going down Lake Street or things that, that's
right.
That's a point of decision at that location if we're using that at all.
I can agree with Mike's comments that people will follow the water. They won't take off away from the water. I would think families, serious bikers will follow the road, and that's not the issue. We're talking about family safety. They're going to follow the water. I don't think they're going to trust their signage or instincts to veer off into Groveland Street. I don't, that's just my feeling.
And that was part of, part of.
And we want to get them to the open space. We really do.
Well, we want to get them safely wherever they're going.
Sure.
Which is, one of our considerations. At one point, and this is several years ago, when the Lakeview apartments were going in. Lakeview?
Mm-hmm.
Up on Court Street?
Court Street.
Yeah. We have a small section of trail that they put in, wide sidewalk on that side of the building. One of the original discussions was possibly taking bikers in along there, setting up some type of a trailhead over by where the community garden is now, and then on that road. I just don't know how much use that's actually going to get. That seems so, to me, it seems so far off the beaten trail. It has some advantages of lower traffic speeds, it's safer, it's slower, things of that nature. But again, I don't know how much people are going to use that. It's off the trail, and I think you also have some additional issues with regards to hills in that location.
I was going to say, because Groveland takes you to park. Park is a hill. This is not attractive to families.
Well, I'm just thinking I think the original bike path had you taking Court all the way up to Park, to the intersection of Park and Court. I can't.
It's still a hill, yeah.
Well, it gets even worse.
Yeah.
That's my impression on this right here.
Agree, Mike?
I agree.
Okay. Keep it to the water? Okay.
Well, I just want to add one. What if it's $4 million to leave it to the water and $750,000 to move it off the water? Mm-hmm. I think you need to know those numbers before you can really commit to one or the other, personally.
Makes sense.
And that might be something if we have a couple of different routes that we can, ask Larry, here's just The price that he's given us right now is $2,800. It's basically to say, okay, here's one route that we want.
Right.
And, but that doesn't say that, okay, we have two alternate routes that we're thinking of. Maybe there's one route here or pieces of route that we can put together and say, okay, here's one that we look. But maybe there's an off-road alternative. What would it cost to take him down Court Street to park and to, you know, all the way to the straight shot there? And maybe that's, you know, $3,500, and Mike comes up with that additional $700 from his biker's fund to take. So you got those, both those options coming back to the commission at the meeting of the 28th or some other time if you can. Right. I'm not trying to rush it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one thing I will note about this route is this crossing is problematic. It is limited sight distance in this direction. But there is an existing sidewalk here, so if people wanted to choose and they were really just coming to City Hall or further into town and not concerned about the views, they can, the pedestrians anyways, can continue on the existing sidewalk.
So. Why don't you make that sidewalk 10 foot and then cross at the boat launch?
Yes, that's an alternate, is that, you know, this can still go just like John Street as a shared use roadway, no improvements provided other than some alternate signage, and you still take the trail either here or further east, and then people who want to cross to get to Lakeview can cross.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I agree with Mike. I mean, if I'm going to use it, I'm probably going to go, well, I would generally like, if I'm a visitor, I would think I'd like to take it to the water. But that section of road or trail where it's dashed like that is a relatively low cost portion if you're just marking it.
And the sidewalk alternative to make it 6 foot to 10 foot, it didn't look that congested when I studied it today. That's possibilities.
Yeah, the north and east side of the road for this portion and down until we get Lower Lake comes back to Lake Street is the better alternate. And so if you're on the north side and you continue on the north side, we've eliminated a couple crossings. So we have the one crossing back at John, and then you can continue on without crossing the road again until you get to basically the boat launch.
Sure.
And then the east side becomes more congested. You've got a lot of drive right there. You've got some good ditches. So that's when it kind of becomes more clear that we should be back on the other side of the road.
Mayor? Barb?
Yes, Brian.
When you were out driving around looking at the routes and sight distance and stuff like that, did you consider the sight distance of people coming down Charlevoix Street and down North Lake Street?
In terms of
coming down
the crossing,
the
coming
hills.
Down the hill,
visually,
if somebody's shooting across.
Well, those are both stop conditions.
Those are stop signs.
So they have to stop at the intersection, so that's the safest place to cross?
They do, but I'm just thinking if you're putting a pathway 10 feet into it, I know that there's a stop sign. People tend, especially coming down the hill, they tend to come right up to the stop sign, and part of the reason they do is because it's difficult to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people, you're supposed to stop and then creep out, but I just wondered what that sight distance was of people coming down the hill.
We did not specifically look at that, but because it is a stop condition, you can add a stop ahead sign, and we would put the stop sign prior to the trail with the stop bar, you know, where you're supposed to stop. So we would relocate that to the
sign. Right in there, that's Charlevoix Street coming down there. So there would be the stop sign as you came south on Charlevoix Street. Again, there would also be stop signs on either side, on the trail on either side before you hit Charlevoix Street. So basically, it's going to be the responsibility of both the bikers and the traffickers to make sure that they're safe for each other. They both have responsibilities to be watching out there.
Right. Should be no different than a pedestrian crossing there. Other than perhaps some better signage.
Okay,
so keep moving on. So if you take right there the road down or the east side sidewalk, takes us into basically the Family Fair neighborhood or the.
And just so you know, I think I've mentioned this, but this is going to be difficult construction. There will be a lot of power pole relocations no matter which side of the road we choose. They seem to be all right there where the trail was.
Can you describe why we had to make a crossing there in front of the landings instead of staying on the east or the west side of the road there?
Well, when we actually drove this, we were thinking that this was the preferred route on the north and east side of Lake Street.
Okay.
The sidewalk.
I think we might still be kind of heading that.
The sidewalk side, Larry.
And this would be the alternate. Pardon me?
The sidewalk side, is that?
Yes, the sidewalk side. That it would be easier construction and we wouldn't cross the road.
We were using Lower Lake Street, so it made more sense to keep everybody on the east side of the road.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are some issues right in here, too, in terms of trying to get that path in there. You can see some trees and landscaping planted and some other issues. Yeah. That was what we were thinking when we were looking at this.
Yeah. I don't know if there's another way to take a second look at that if you were going to use the Lower Lake Street route, but keep on that side of the street, but okay.
Larry, could you go up to the McGinty's home?
Sure.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Get back there.
That's quite a corner.
I'm getting there. Okay. There we go.
The red roof.
The red roof. So did you look at that, Larry? I mean, it seems like their home and getting a 10-foot pathway there don't necessarily mean being compatible.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you recall that?
Where we talked about, that's where he put the flagpoles out.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue.
Recognize it's going to be very tight there.
Yeah.
It's not a great situation, but you know, when you're dealing with an already developed area and trying to put in a 10-foot path, it's difficult.
So, I mean, just knowing that, I mean, that's reality, would it be better then to just keep going down? What's that street?
Michigan.
That's Michigan.
Yeah.
See, I like this.
Just to go that way.
Yeah. Michigan. And then you come back down. I mean, I think going straight up Michigan, I drove that route today and around a couple of the routes, but going straight up Michigan on the hill, it looked like that was kind of a nice it gets you off that curve and that busy traffic curve and that corner. So you stay on the left or on the north side of the street.
And then as you come to the intersection with Lake Street, is there just a way of crossing the street then and getting on the lake side?
Well, it comes down here.
So Michigan to the line?
Yeah. So, in other words, this.
Yeah, or just cross right here.
Right, right.
So that's.
That would
this
be
route.
Really good. That would be a lot better.
That was like your alternate two?
Mm-hmm. Well, not quite.
It would avoid this problem.
Yes, it would. And that hill is pretty busy. I mean, traffic-wise, that's.
What hill are you talking about, Laura?
Well, as you're going up above northern, the lower part of Lake, this part of Lake Street, on that curve, I mean, up to this corner, this whole stretch is always kind of a, you know, being it's like, I don't know, it just seems like people fly through there pretty fast.
Well, as far as just continuing the discussion, the lower lake is, we can do that no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So we could just tell Larry, okay, look at line to Michigan or Michigan to line or whatever it is, or look at the sidewalk in front of McGinty's house. I mean, just give him those two options so we could just continue the discussion and say, okay, which one, upon further closer review, Larry, which one makes more sense?
Okay, that's fair. We can do that. I can give you a cost for both of these for the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be talking about taking taking all the way to the east end of West Michigan, or East Michigan, right to that corner there,
and then straight down.
And then just stay on that side of the sidewalk, the east side.
I think our thought was we need to be on the west side there because wetlands and drainage issues, Andy, or whatever.
Yeah, that's there's an ancient preserve right there. I believe it's owned by the Gavises that runs along, and it's pretty swampy area right in there. There's a couple of ditch lines that run right close to the road, and there's also
it'd be kind of challenging in there.
Okay.
I'd be really concerned about soils issues in there.
I guess what I meant was once you would come back to Lake, stay on the east side.
To this point.
Right there, yeah.
Yep, right there. To there. Oh, I'm sorry. Down to.
Down to.
Here. Down to there, yeah. Right.
So again, we're not crossing Lake Street.
Buildings over there. Again, you know, with that route of thought,
yeah.
East Michigan and Line Street, the traffic is not really heavy on either of those two streets. That's another one that can be done with lane markings.
Right,
on
that's what I'm thinking.
Right. Widen the shoulder.
I would even do that for right now. I just leave it the way it is. It's a roll curb going up the hill both ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we just did a crush and shape on that road, if I'm not mistaken, last year. No, it's on the post picture. Yeah, that would be my recommendation right there. Just go ahead and leave that. Let the trail run up around that way or down. Let it run down Miller Lake also. People put whatever they want to do, but I mean,
right.
I would just use the pavement markings.
That might be kind of nice. And then bikers, if they want to stay out of that main line of traffic, they can
right.
go that way. And people that are walking can go the lake route.
Yeah.
Just do markings.
Like I said earlier, hardcore bike riders aren't going to be looking at those trails. They're going to run the road and they're just going to go directly. So
that's true.
You can give families a couple different routes to go, and at their discretion, you can do either one or both. You can try both ways one time.
So to follow that, were we saying basically take the trail to this point, and then this would be just a dashed line?
Mm-hmm.
Shared use roadway, and then this would also stay shared use roadway.
That's what Andy's saying, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds good, but I'm just wondering, is MDOT going to require something else, or the grant requirement's going to, you know, I don't know.
No, I think that's a legitimate use of a low volume roadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives the connectivity that we're looking for.
Okay, so once we're at that intersection, Larry, where do we go?
Okay, so now we're going south and we're on the east side of Lake until we get to just off across from the boat launch. And so somewhere in this area before we get to all of this parking and congestion, and I think there's a big culvert ditch here, that we would get to the west side.
Cross,
we thought with the open space, there's I don't know how much, but you've got some opportunity for acquired easement, at least to widen the trail, and then also the same at Honeywell.
By the time this project will be done, we're hopefully we won't need an easement.
Right. Just to mention, this is a bit of an issue. As far as width-wise and...
Larry, I was looking away. What are you pointing
okay,
to?
Okay, so this, between the new City Hall,
okay.
This is the existing park area that's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Honeywell Drive, there's not 10 feet between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So we would, again, either get to take up parking in your parking lot or...
Actually, I had a discussion with Ray Kendra last time he was here with regards to that very issue. And... he was thinking that we could shift the existing, the proposed parking lot a few feet closer to the City Hall or to the new fire base and create the parking. Basically shift everything to the south a little bit to pick up that required 10 feet.
Okay.
He thought there was enough room there. It would be basically eating into some of the green space that's next to the fire base.
Okay. Just thinking out loud here, were we keeping the curb and gutter here?
We were planning on keeping portions of it, but again, I mean, if it had to go away to make this work, it could happen.
Okay, and then the rest of this is all feasible. And then, again, a crossing here at River Street, which is downtown, there's a crossing there. That's not bad.
I mean, again, that assume that they're going to want to go to Old City Park as the trailhead. Who knows where they're going to want to go?
Mm-hmm. Well, half the battle's won when we get them to
downtown
Veterans Park.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to keep going all the way to Boyne Mountain, then they have to negotiate through town anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I have a question for Mike or Larry. So we're going to end it at Old City Park. Is there any way of looking a little broader you know, how do we connect through the downtown so we get on the bike path that goes out Division? Or how, once you're there, how do you get to the Boyne Valley Trail on Main Street? Is there some way to connect those together as we're going for this?
We didn't tackle that for this project. Other than, and the reason we went to Old City Park in that location is when we went for our Trail Town certification, right. We just right. designated that as a trailhead.
Right.
So that has always been designed as a point of beginning right. or end. So, yeah, the connection between, I mean, yeah, we're going to want to get to the airport terminal to pick up the Boyne Valley Trail as well, too.
Would it make the grant stronger when they saw that connection? I don't know. It's just, but the other thing, I mean, okay, so it's not part of the grant. Isn't the city ordinance written so you can't ride your bike like in front of the chamber, you got to walk it?
Technically, yes.
So can we change that? So
you can change anything you want.
So
yes.
It could be signed and you could, and then maybe paint along Front Street there, something in the road that indicates the bike path that would take you to the, all that?
Yeah.
We can just do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's a possibility long term. We've talked about, you know, pedestrian, at one point mm-hmm. we talked about different pedestrian footbridge here that right, gets right. away from mm-hmm. that location. We've talked a variety of pedestrian footbridges mm-hmm. along in here as well, too. I mean, you could do that. You could widen the path through here if you wanted to get them over to Water Street, things of that nature, rather than just necessarily coming straight down here. It's kind of congested. We have to work on that. But it's part of our long-term visioning.
Where, like this summer, just paint something that says bike path, if you kept going.
Yeah, or a picture of a silhouette of a bicycle or
whatever. It's appropriate.
Or you talk about on the sidewalks right
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a little mini kiosk where you pick up the map, bike trail map, and how to connect.
Well, that's where they'll, yeah. that'll be at Old City Park, I think.
Right.
Barb?
Does it make any more sense, or would it not be funded to take them a little further and take them along the boardwalk in that alley? To Old City Park?
In the alley.
Yeah. Bring it around here.
Yeah. Riverwalk.
The boardwalk.
Oh, the riverwalk.
That might be nice.
That's an excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's wide enough.
Yeah. It's a little, that's scenic.
Yeah,
it's not that much further down to do.
And you end up at Old City Park, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, walk up the stairs.
No, it's a ramp.
Yeah. There's a handicap ramp with that.
Mm-hmm. There's a pretty tight turn.
So, Barb, what would be the benefit of doing that?
I was just thinking about the traffic and the parking mm-hmm. on River Street.
Along River Street?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the south side where that's angle parking and people backing out.
Right. And it's a prettier walk then, because it's already a boardwalk.
I mean, just, I don't have major concerns about River Street, just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you want to be real careful, and we, you know, again, especially with this area right here, if you're designing the trail to continue through here and then getting them across somehow to this, I think that's one that I think we're going to have to give some more thought. I would think we'd have to give more thought to. That's pretty tight and congested in here. I think we want to be careful about how much of that we trail up. I do know right here where the hand is now, there'd have to be some changes there. Mm-hmm. It's just, it comes to a 90 degree and it's mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah, Andy, yes?
Major concerns about that boardwalk area, there's a lot of delivery truck traffic in there all hours of the day. And again, if you want to keep on the boardwalk, it gets quite narrow in that one section from where the picnic table is going back down along behind the restaurants. It gets quite narrow in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like this section right in here, which I think is what you're talking about, Andy, I don't think you got 10 feet.
No, it's only about 6 or 7 feet max right in there, between the edge of the curb and the fence, if it's even that. So.
But I could see potentially, whether they're on the actual wood portion of the boardwalk itself or just using there's a potential to use the alley itself until you get to the ramp here and mark it the same way that you're doing up here as well, too.
If we stop the trail before that, then we're not, we don't have to meet 10-foot requirements.
Right.
Well, I interrupted your flow of thought. May I say something else?
Yes, Mike.
Since it doesn't look like you got enough money to build a damn trail anyways, and since some of that $2,800 is for preparing the grant, why don't we let Larry go and do all the design studies, whichever A, B, C plans we want together. Now we got some real data, cost data as well as design data to look at. And we postponed this entry into the grant application for 1 year, mm-hmm. until a year from today. And we bring it back and we really work through this with some time and consideration. Mm-hmm. And that being said, I surely like minimizing. I started with no crossings. You can see I'm a compromiser. I'll go for two crossings. How's that? Down to two. And keep the daggone sidewalk on the northeast side of Lake and so forth streets as the main plan. And widen that to 10 feet all the way along there. And then the other options of whether you go down on Lower Lake Street or whether you have that straight through the tough district where you can't get through. Just keep that part of the road paved enough that I can ride through it. I'll be happy. The families will probably choose to use the sidewalk alternative, and that's safer and it's better. So they have to cross twice, so maybe we've got a flasher light or something to warn traffic because you may see a pedestrian crossing over there. But we've got to think through all these things and minimize the safety risk and line it up. And I've said enough. She agrees.
Do we have any more comments? Any more discussion?
Could I ask someone for a comment? Jeff, do you have any comment, you know, just from a public safety point of view? And is our concern about crossings real?
I would, I have some concerns about crossing the road, but I would like to, maybe do a traffic study there, a speed study, which we could do, and we can get some actual speed with vehicles and stuff, which would give us more data. It seems like there may be some problems there, but I don't want to just guess that.
So those studies would be probably more appropriate in the peak of the summer, or at least.
Yeah, we can do it anytime.
During the summer, well, during the summer season, it's going to be a lot different than the winter.
And those are going to be the volume. That's what people are going to be using the trail the most anyway. I would concur with your assessment that that's probably where you're going to get the realistic numbers. You can do traffic counts now.
But it's not going to mean anything.
No, not much.
No. So.
I got a question in regards to what Jeff just said on the traffic counts, but the area where the trail ends at West Michigan there, what would be the possibility of making that a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit? Because it goes from 35 to 25 in just, maybe less than a quarter mile.
It can be done. If it's inside the city, and I'm sure we'd have to cooperate with the county because of the joint responsibility there, but I think it would be very similar to Marshall Road that we went through that process. Inside the city, we were able to adjust the speed to what matched the actual speed. Now, if you're talking about just lowering the speed to possibly head off a problem, it's probably not a good idea to do that. But we're going to, because we talk about realistic speed limits all the time, where we use that term because we're trying to set speed limits for at what the car is normally driving. So if we do these speed studies, we may end up finding out that the speeds are actually higher than what we think the arrow had higher than supposed to speed limits. And a lot of the current thinking is that you would raise that speed limit because that's what the car is driving. So the artificial just lower that speed limit to try to head off a problem. May not be because the drivers may just continue to drive that speed if there's not a patrol car. So.
Mike, you had a comment?
No, I was kind of going to do like what Hugh just did, and see if Ross Maxwell, with his vast experience in trail construction and grants and all that type of stuff, has any input for us as well.
I say go for it, because you can always withdraw it. You already have to start on it. It's $2,800 to get the preliminary drawings application in. And we sure withdrew enough of them going up to Wings and Charlevoix Road for different reasons, easements and this and that. Right away now.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on that as well, too. My gut feeling is, even if we apply this time, we're not going to get funded with regards to it. It's probably going to take one or two applications, just our luck, we get funded. But I'm thinking there's something that you learn along the process as well, too. So that's part of me saying, well, geez, that's why we should go for it. The other part is, I think we've had some really good discussion here as well. Is there other potential good discussion that we need to have with some of our other boards and commissions that make it worth waiting another year? So I'm kind of balancing those two.
Could I help move you in one way? I agree wholeheartedly with you, and maybe this is going to, next year when we apply, it'll be even stronger because the Boyne Valley Trail will be started, and there'll be another section of that, and the connection is going to become very real, that it may make our grant application even stronger. And the other thing, too, like, I'm just thinking, if it's $3 million, just to throw a number out, and our commitment's 25%, you know, that's $750,000. I mean, where do we come up with that? I'm just thinking.
And I think that's a very good point as well, too, if I could jump in. And that's one of the advantages of, I partially see, of going forward with it and having Larry prepare some estimates now, as we're, you know, we'll have those by within a couple of weeks. And as we're starting to look at, okay, where are we coming up with money for future projects, discussion that we're going to have as part of our budget review session anyway, if we had some type of a number to start plugging into that, that would be helpful. I mean, he can do that and provide that for us without applying for the grant application, but, you know, at some point we're going to have to work. That's one of the types of projects, you know, whether it's that or restrooms or pavilions or things like that, where we've got to be thinking about, okay, we've got all these wish list things out of here. What's our priorities and where's the money going to come to do it?
So, and if I may counter your argument, Hugh, I agree with Ross. It's, if we apply April 1st for this grant, we're still 3 years out from digging the first shovel of dirt.
But we don't know what route we want to take. I mean, we're asking Larry to do a lot of work for $2,800 in 2 weeks. I mean, he's combining all six trails, and there's issues with each of them.
But he said he's willing to give us some alternative routes and prices enough to apply for the grant, and we can tweak it a little bit over those 3 years.
But what's the rush? Just, if someone could just tell me the rush.
3 years or 4 years is what we're talking.
Well, or maybe we're not going to get a grant. We can figure out how to do it ourselves.
But you can't get the grant if you don't try.
Okay.
If we were to be so lucky to go forward with this and get the grant, and not have it worked out and decide to withdraw the grant, how does that damage it? Does that hurt our future applications?
Ross or Mike might be able to speak to that. I don't know if they heard it, they might have to repeat the question.
I mean, if we went ahead and applied for the grant based on what our best scenario that we could work out at this point be, and we were so lucky to get the grant, and then decided we don't want to go forward and we withdraw the grant, then how does that damage our chances in the future of getting a future grant, or does it?
As long as they haven't committed to you, and then you withdraw before, maybe you won't have your funding, your matching funds available.
Right. So that's no harm in doing it that way.
I don't believe so, Mike. Rob, if you've already, they already gave you, the DNR gave you funding for the grant, and then you withdraw, that's not good. But if you get to the point before they decide to withdraw that.
And how long does it take before they decide?
And so if the grant went in April 1st, was October? October, November?
December.
So we could have plenty of discussion, is what I'm thinking, between that point and a chance to withdraw it without any damage or harm.
Except you can't change what you've submitted.
No, I'm saying, but I'm saying we withdraw the grant and say we're not going to do it because of the input maybe from other organizations.
Doesn't the grant require a letter of commitment, financial letter? At what point does the financial letter of commitment become real?
I think, Lee, you have to have your funds committed by October.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, we apply in April. We still
have
until
all
October.
Your funds committed. You have to be able to sign and certify that you have all the right-of-way and easements required by October 1.
Kelsey?
My question was just that in the grant application, do we have to show where the matching funds are coming from? Because it seems like a lot of grant applications do have that. So mm-hmm. if we partially don't know by April 1st where this is coming from.
They haven't required that on previous trust fund grants.
I think that information you just said is not until October.
October, yeah. So that gives us some time frame to further discuss things, and if, say, the preliminary plans aren't what
but
everybody
but
wants.
But what would we further discuss? We're submitting a plan for a bike mm-hmm. route. What are we going to discuss? We're not going to change it because you can't change it. So what are we going to be discussing?
Whether to go forward or withdraw.
Well, what basically. Would be the decision?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike. I'll get to you, Lisa.
This has been great discussion. And I'm glad we had it. I wish we had it a few months earlier. My apologies for not bringing it or starting the process sooner. That's on me. Based on what I'm hearing, there's a lot of good ideas out there. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to switch to thinking maybe we should wait a little bit longer and have further discussion on this. We're going to have one shot to do it right. There is no real rush. Mm-hmm. We've got the alternate routes set up. We do have bike routes along the edge of the road to the where the trail ends. On the paved shoulders. We have set up sections along John Street and along Lower Lake Street to get some to get people off the main route as best we can for now. As much as I like going for and getting the additional information, I guess my opinion has switched as we went through this process, and I'm thinking this cake just isn't cooked fully enough yet. That we really should take a little bit longer. I think we'll have that much stronger an application. There isn't any reason that during this process, and when we include the Main Street Board, the Parks Board, fully, the Planning Commission, that we can't retain Larry to come up with some of these additional cost estimates with regards to it as well, too. I think we needed to have this discussion probably about 3 months before.
Yeah.
So, is my guess.
And we can have traffic counts done and other information that would be important to the project as well.
I got two comments, Lisa.
I just want to say that while we were discussing, there was a lot of valuable information, questions brought to light, and if we're going to do traffic counts and things like that, we need to do them during the summer. Mm-hmm. We all know what our population goes from 3,000 to 15,000 with right. people mm-hmm. driving through. And it has, when it was first brought up, I thought, yeah, let's go ahead and can't hurt. Mm-hmm. But we really, at this point, we're pretty clueless as to where we're going. So why not? I agree with waiting. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say.
Thanks.
Yeah, Darrell Parrish, I'm on Parks and Rec, 1113 Marshall Road. Well, I agree 100% with Mike's summary. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's clear we're a long way from reaching a consensus. The one paramount requirement is that any route sanctioned by the city is safe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's my biggest concern. Mm-hmm. You know, if we rush into a route and a child is injured or even mm-hmm. worse, so I think you know, it would be wise to step back from the grant application this year, let it go through the process of our commissions, and you know, come back next year with a more thought out proposal.
Thank you. So I think next we'll go into board final wrap-up.
Yes.
Discussion, okay. Anything else? Okay, we'll go to board discussion. Gene, you're next.
As everybody said, there's a lot of good information. I do agree that we need to go back on this one.
Laura?
Yeah, I think it's been a really good discussion. There's a lot to think about. We know we want to do a trail eventually, so I think we could make it a lot stronger. I agree with you and a few other people that we should probably wait and get the other groups involved and other boards considered.
You?
Yeah, I guess the only question I have is how we can engage Larry or some firm to know what's possible and what's not possible. Like, is it possible to go on in front of McGinty's house? Is it possible to do, you know, just certain things that are going to rule or eliminate certain options, if there's a way of doing that? I'll cede my time to Mike.
Okay. I think based on what, depending on what direction we ultimately end up going, if we decide to postpone this for a later day, I think we as a staff have picked up enough additional information with regards to some alternate routes that we can take these drawings, flesh them out a little bit further. Mm-hmm. I think we then run them through the other boards and commissions and start getting some of their input as well too, and start narrowing that process down. Kind of, they could have many discussions or similar things. I think based on what we've discussed here today, we could narrow these so they don't have to go quite as far with all these options, and flesh that out. So, and once we flesh it down and narrow it down, then I think we can re-approach C2AE and engage them and say, okay, after we've considered it, here's some more viable options, and then bring it back for another proposal. I guess, while I'm on the floor for a moment, I just really want to thank Larry and his team and the department heads too, because it was at my insistence that we kind of pushed this together in real short order. They did a lot of work to do it there. In some respects, I'm sorry that we're not giving Larry $2,800 to do a project right now, but I also think this is the best way to go, and hopefully he'll forgive me for making him do all that.
Well, C2AE has done great things for the city. It's
been a great partnership, and I think this is one more example of it. They dropped a lot of stuff to make this thing happen for us today.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm in agreement that we should postpone to further information. Option one, have to go through the process.
Well, I'll be the lone voice to disagree that we can solve this with Larry's input in the next couple of weeks and spend the $3,000 wisely and get an application in, which buys us a whole year of construction time. But in the spirit of compromise, in the spirit of listening to some very smart people in the room, in the spirit that I'm outvoted, I will concede, and it does make sense to do it right. I think we can do it right quickly, but I know we can do it right with another year, so I'm okay with that. So are we entertaining a motion to? This really wasn't a motion, was it? I guess.
Well, there was a motion recommended initially. But if the commission takes there is no motion required, because if you're not taking any action, you're not taking any action, and staff will, I would assume, the takeaway I'm taking on it is we continue this discussion through the other boards and commissions. We've got some groundwork and some basis to start from. You know, like I said, we can narrow it down a little bit before it goes before them.
But back to the fee, wouldn't it, if staff says, okay, if Andy says, can we get through McGinty's, and I need Larry to make that decision, would it not behoove us to approve $2,800 worth of spending, or should we just wait? I mean, I can come
I'm thinking we should wait and have a full proposal. Better defined routes based on the input from all our boards and commissions. You know, maybe they'll come up with something that we haven't talked about yet or whatever. I'd rather leave it fresh or fresh to go on, and then, you know, we'll go to C2AE at the appropriate time and have some fine, some detailed things that they'll have to work out for us. Because I'm sure every one of these routes that we come up with, and I still think there'll be some couple variations that we'll be looking at going forward. You know, there's gonna be some issues that are gonna have to be addressed, and we'll need their expertise to do it, so.
Okay.
It's not my turn, but we'd be happy to assist you if there are questions that arise that need our input throughout the process without having a proposal and a fee, that's fine. We'd be happy to.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Larry comes to town on a regular basis, especially now that we got the SAW grant going.
Yeah.
SAW grant and City Hall, yes, okay.
So like, if I could?
Yes.
For the traffic counts, is there any expenditure we would have to approve at a certain time to have that done?
We have the equipment to do that ourselves. That's part of the equipment that we picked up a couple of years ago. So between the police and the DPW, we have the ability to do that ourselves. And I think as we define the routes, we'll know, okay, where do we want to do some of those traffic counts.
Okay. So I think we have come to the conclusion on that topic. Going back to the agenda, under the move of the order. Laura?
I don't have anything this evening. It was a good discussion.
You?
I have a couple things. I and Ken Allen attended the medical marijuana workshop up in St. Ignace put on by MSU Extension. I gave materials to Scott, so I think he's scanning and might make them available to everybody. But there was something that came today, maybe you all received it, about they're presenting it again, a webinar. Maybe I only got it because I attended.
Oh.
I'll forward that information, but I would highly recommend if you have the opportunity to sit through that. And I think they're offering another class. Well, I'm not exactly sure. They're offering another class with, it was Brad Peterson from MSU Extension of Marquette that presented at St. Ignace. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened the next day is when they announced the Kingsley marijuana mm-hmm. plant, 100, whatever right. it was, 100 jobs. So, anyways, really interesting, and I would really recommend, you know, you get up to speed on that. And the other thing, too, is I've had a few people ask questions about the community center. Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate to have the community center representatives come and just give an update or mm-hmm. to just, you know, where it is and what might be happening or not?
Or not.
I'm really torn on that one. Whenever I have inquiries, because it's not a city project.
Right,
it is
right.
completely separate yeah. from the city, yeah. and yeah. in some respects, I think it's better off that way.
Yeah.
Whenever I get questions on it, because I've talked to Jim White and other people associated with it, saying we need to really need to get the word out there more as to what's going on or what's not right. going on or what the mm-hmm. timing on it. But again, I haven't seen much in the way of results on that. You can always invite him here, but I'd almost encourage you just to direct people to him.
Okay.
That's what I've done in the past. People ask.
I mean, and again, it's there is, as far as I understand, there's still a 501c3. You mm-hmm. may recall that was originally set up for when they were looking to do a community center or trails and stuff over at the old Carter's building.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then this property became available, and that project kind of morphed from that location to this location. But I have heard similar comments that people are just kind of wondering what's the status of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that was all. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad?
Yeah, just take this last discussion about the community center, possibly the chamber or the Main Street group to approach them too, and maybe set up a crowdfunding event.
That might be more appropriate than us.
Mm-hmm.
The chamber.
Well, they are. They do have proposed for this summer. He has another fundraiser proposed. He's got another
concert
coming or group, kind of like some
Vegas
impersonators or something like that.
Tribute
band. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they're looking for you to leave your tribute behind. So. Mm-hmm. But I mean, another opportunity for him to come and speak possibly would be before Team Boy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That would be probably a good.
I have talked to Jim and he's open about it, but, you know, I don't think it's for me to share that conversation. So yeah, I think Jim needs to come forward and make some encouragement from us. Non-official encouragement. Not speaking on behalf of the city. Okay. So, announcements. Our budget work session will be all day Tuesday and today. It's great fun. I encourage all of you to come. The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 28th at noon. And at this 9:05, I will make a motion to adjourn.
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?